Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Thank you, John, and good evening, everyone. This is Deacon Al. Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio. We're here every Saturday and Sunday from 8 to 8:30 to break open the readings and the gospel acclamation for this weekend's Mass and to tear them open, to really dig into them and talk about aspects of them that affect our lives today, especially the lives of young people. I think too often we think about Mass and the church for instructing adults and getting adults into tune with the teachings of Christ. And what Christ teaches us through the Scripture is for everyone of every age. There's something in here to help all of us in our daily lives, and just takes a little digging to find it. And we want to share that good news with you through this program. So once again, we have James with us. Hello, James.
Hi there.
James is our resident teenage religious guru. He's here to ask questions and help us dig a little deeper into things. So I've asked James to help us with the readings. We're just going to look at the second reading from this weekend and the gospel. So, James, why don't you do the second reading for us? It's a letter from St. John.
My children, I am writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is expiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for those of the whole world. The way we may be sure that we know him is to keep his commandments. Those who say, I know him, but do not keep his commandments are liars, and the truth is not in them. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God, is truly perfected in him.
The word of the Lord. Thank you, James. So, a really important letter. For those of you who don't know, the letters are called epistles. When we talk about epistles in the Scripture, it's letters. John wrote letters to the church. Peter wrote letters back to the church. Paul wrote letters to the church. James. So these are all epistles. These are personal letters. So unlike some of our other Scripture readings, which started in oral tradition first and was passed on through the church orally, these were actually written letters that were delivered to congregations, to communities of the faith, of the Christian faithful, to help the church in its early years, to help explain the faith, to teach the faith, and to keep people on the right track. So what John is writing about today really is the sacrament of confession. He's telling people that try not to sin, follow the teachings of Christ, love God, love your neighbor, but if you should happen to sin, there is a remediation for this. There is a solution to this. Christ left us a sacrament where he has shared his authority with his church to forgive sins. And we see that in last week's gospel, where he tells the apostles, what sins you forgive are forgiven, and what sins you hold people to are held to in heaven. So we see that Christ has left us a tool for healing, for spiritual healing. And John is reminding the church of that, this church community that he's writing to, that don't feel that because you have sinned that you can no longer be part of this community. He's saying that's okay. We understand human nature, and Christ has left us a remedy for this through the confessional. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Questions?
Okay, so when he says that we have an advocate in God, I know you explained a good amount of that just there.
Yeah, but so we have an advocate, mm-hmm. and actually, the advocate, you see, it's capital A. So we have the advocate, the Holy Spirit. We have the Father, God the Father, and we have Jesus Christ. And the advocate is in Christ with the Father. So this is really showing us the Trinity, that they're all one. The Holy Spirit is in Christ. He's in God, and Jesus is there with Christ as well. So we have in one group, and it doesn't say Trinity explicitly, but implicitly, we see the Holy Trinity here. So what we're seeing is that God has made this forgiveness possible. It doesn't come from just God the Father or just through the Holy Spirit or just through Christ. It comes from one God, the Holy Trinity.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to talk about in this was, again, the fact that John points out, those who say, I know him, but do not keep his commandments are liars, and the truth is not in them. And this is a really important part. This goes to, well, I don't practice my faith. I don't go to church, but I'm spiritual. Well, what does that really mean? They're saying, well, I believe in God, or I believe in Christ. I don't do anything about it. And John is saying that if you're not doing anything about it, you're lying. You can't really say, I believe in Christ and not do something about it. Christ gave us a commandment. He says, if you believe in me, you'll love God and you'll love your neighbor. Well, if you're not doing those two things, you really don't believe. You're just giving lip service to this. So it's important that in our lives, no matter what your age, it needs more than just, yes, I believe in Christ. Belief needs proof. It needs evidence, and we show that evidence through our love for others. So if you're not taking what time and resources you have to help other people, you really can't say that you love Christ or that you believe in God, because how could you believe but not do something with that belief? I know you're involved in some community activities, some charitable actions.
Sure.
What are some of the things you do in your life?
Well, besides just going to church, which is just the basic thing that you have to do, I like to help out and I like to volunteer. I know I volunteered at where I work now at the nursing home, and now I work there as staff and I get paid. So that's nice, but the volunteering was also really great there.
That's great. So you go above and beyond. Mm-hmm. It's not just there for the paycheck.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're not making zillions of money.
No.
In the area of that kind of area. So that's great that you're mm-hmm. doing things like that. And there's all kinds of things available to us. I think volunteering to help shut-ins, help the poor, help the sick, help the needy. That's all really good stuff. And that's how we exercise that love that God has given us. That's how we build ourselves up to be able to really love others. And it's easy to love people who you know, and it's easy to love your friends and people who like you. But we're called to a higher level of that. We're called to love people we don't know and people who cannot give us reward, and even to love people who don't even like us. So it's about going beyond ourselves, beyond our family, beyond our own circle of friends, and to really show our belief through our actions, through our love for others. You're listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio. If you have questions about your Catholic faith or any faith that you would like us to talk about on the air, you can write us at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's our email box. goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org. And then we also have a podcast. If you've missed any of our previous programs, you can get caught up by going to our website at catholicspiritradio.org and listening to our various podcasts. We'll be back with more good news right after this.
Stay tuned. Good News will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Catholic Spirit Radio wants to be sure our listeners in Central Illinois know about our active Facebook page. Highlights from our Facebook page include Mother Angelica quotes, special Catholic Spirit Radio events, plus links to podcasts and important information. We invite all our listeners to become a follower of the Catholic Spirit Radio Facebook page because keeping in touch with you is important to us. Thank you for liking our Facebook page, listening to Catholic Spirit Radio, and spreading the word about our radio station.
The Catechism of the Catholic Church has a great quote from St. John Chrysostom on prayer in paragraph 2744. It reads, quote, "Nothing is equal to prayer, for what is impossible, it makes possible. What is difficult, easy. For it's impossible for the man who prays eagerly and invokes God ceaselessly ever to sin." Close quote. That's the power of prayer. So, what are we waiting for? Let's get to praying.
And welcome back to Good News. This is Deacon Al, and I'm here with James. We've been looking at the scripture readings for this weekend's Mass, and now we're going to turn and look at the Gospel according to Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus had made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still incredulous with joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. So, a lot going on here. We have Christ reappearing after he's already shown up once, at least once before, perhaps more times. He shows up in the locked upper room again to a gathering of his disciples. And at the very beginning, James, the very first line, the two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Do you recall who those two disciples are?
Oh, not by name. I could probably take a good guess, but I'd rather not embarrass myself with that.
Well, what it's referring to is a previous gospel reading about the walk to Emmaus, where we had the two disciples leaving Jerusalem, heading to Emmaus, and they met Christ along the way, but they didn't recognize him. And they were talking to him about this horrible thing that's happened in Jerusalem with Jesus being crucified. And now their teacher, who they thought was their savior, is now dead. And they're very upset. And Jesus said, "Don't you understand what's happened and why it had to happen?" So Jesus explains the scriptures to them. They stop for a meal. And at the meal, Jesus breaks the bread and gives the blessing. And they recognize him through the blessing. And as soon as they realized who it was, Jesus disappeared from their presence. So when it says the two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way, what they're talking about is those two disciples who at that point were on their way to Emmaus, met Jesus, and now, because they've met him, are going back to Jerusalem. They went back to the disciples and were telling them, "You won't believe what just happened." So this gospel, this scripture, is picking up immediately after the walk to Emmaus had ended and the two disciples went back to Jerusalem. So now they've gathered, they've gone to where the other apostles and disciples were staying, and they're telling them about this trip and how they met Christ along the way. And as they're telling them about it, the other disciples are probably totally amazed that this happened, and Jesus again appears within the locked room. So I'm guessing we're going to hear this question, the same question from you again.
Yep. Why? Why are they so upset? They've seen him now as the first time that they saw him. They knew he could resurrect people from Lazarus. And I'm like, okay, that's understandable at least. But now it's the second time. They know he can do it. Why are they so scared?
Jesus has told them 5 times during his life that he's going to die and be resurrected in 3 days, come back in 3 days. He told them that 5 times. On top of that, they saw him resurrect Lazarus. Then they saw him in the upper room almost immediately after the resurrection. So here we have at least a second time that he's entered the room, and they're still frightened and amazed. That's being human. I don't know any other way to explain it other than they're simply being human. We're scaredy cats. I mean, we have things that startle us. And certainly seeing dead people appear would startle you. If you saw a family member who you knew had been dead for a long period of time suddenly appeared in your room, you would think a ghost.
Yeah, but that family member hasn't told me five times before that they are coming back as a ghost.
That's right. That's right. And that's because, okay, they say it, but it's still, really? That's kind of hard to believe because we don't know anybody else who's done that. So they're still in the learning process. Remember, Jesus didn't gather scholars as disciples and as apostles. He gathered common people, fishermen, the poorest of the poor, not the scribes and the Pharisees, the educated people of his time, with only a few exceptions, such as Nicodemus and a few others. The wealthy, highly educated people rejected Christ as the Savior. They were the ones responsible for his crucifixion. So it was the common people who accepted Christ, but mostly accepted the teachings of Christ. They understood the importance of love and forgiveness that Jesus taught. And that was not something that the wealthy were good at. They were big on power and self-indulgence and this idea of helping others and being kind to other people and loving people who didn't like you. That does not fit the social structure of the wealthy at that time. And you could say the same is true probably of the powerful now. This idea of what Jesus teaches is so far removed. So Jesus is talking to simple people, and he's being followed by a fairly simple part of society. So they're having trouble understanding some of these things. But the good news is that they're getting closer, because not far from now, we're going to be reading about the apostles being out on the boat. They see a stranger on the shore. They haven't caught anything. And the stranger says, "Drop your nets one more time." And they do. And they bring in this huge, huge landing of fish. And as soon as they do that, they recognize Christ. And instead of being fearful, they race to him. So, yes, right now they're fearful, but that's going to change. Because at the end of this reading, we read how Christ opened their minds to understand the scriptures. So they're being given special graces now through Christ to where things are being revealed to them, and they're becoming more knowledgeable, more understanding of what's going on. And that happens with us. Again, not only through through the sacraments, we're given special wisdoms through the Holy Spirit. We're able to understand the scriptures. The more we pray, the closer we come in relationship to Christ, the more we understand what Christ is teaching in the scriptures. And we see that happening here. But there's something else that's happening in this reading that's really important. And the fact that when Jesus comes back and he says, "I'm not a ghost, I'm flesh and bone." And that's really important to us, because in our Catholic faith, we believe that when we die, Our soul goes to its first, our personal judgment, to where we go to heaven or hell, but that at the second coming of Christ, we are reunited with our physical bodies, flesh and bone, not a ghost body, not a spiritual body. But our faith teaches us through the scriptures, because we believe that we will follow the example set by Christ, that at his resurrection, he has a glorified body. It can do things that our human body can't do, like enter locked rooms. But it's not this floaty, transparent, weird kind of a ghostly body. We are reunited with a physical flesh and bone body. And that's pretty amazing. But that's the promise of Christ. And so that's something we have to look forward to in the second coming. And this is why we should not fear death. Christ has shown us that death is not the end. It's a new beginning. And it's a beginning we don't fully understand yet, but it's one we can trust, because Jesus tells us several times, as the apostles see him in this state, "Be at peace. Don't be afraid." So we can face death with peace and without fear, because we can see that what happens afterwards when we are in a life with Christ is nothing to be fearful of. It's a flesh and bone existence in communion with our God. It's when we're out of that relationship, when we're in a sinful relationship, now we have something to be worried about, because that ending from what Christ tells us is very, very different. Any other questions on the gospel that you want to bring up, James, or did we cover that pretty well?
I think that's pretty well covered.
All right. I think we have time for one question. So this, if you have questions about Catholicism or about our Christian faith, please send them to goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org, and we will be happy to address them on the air. And I'm going to give James first crack at this one and see what he thinks. Why did God create the devil?
That's a really good question.
That's a really good question.
Well, I know he created Lucifer. He was an angel.
He was an angel.
Yeah.
Right. Did he create Lucifer to be evil?
I don't know.
That's a tough question.
No. I don't think God would create something to be evil, but I think he gave the choice to become evil.
There we created. Go. That's great. That's the perfect answer. Yeah, whenever somebody says to you, why did God create, do this evil thing? Why did he create this illness or do this evil thing to me or to my grandparent or to my parents? Why did God give them cancer? That kind of thing. It's not fair to lay that on God. I mean, you can. He's got big shoulders. He can handle the blame. But it's incorrect, because if you think about the nature of God, and that's what you have to start with. When somebody says, why did God do this? You have to back up first and think about, okay, what is the nature of God? And then ask if that act fits that nature. And if it doesn't, then that act came from something other than God. So creating an evil being is not in the nature of God. Everything God created was good. We see that in Genesis. As he creates the entire universe, everything he created was good. And people were very, very good. So we see only goodness being created from God. So when somebody says, why would God create the devil? Well, God didn't create the devil. God created an angel. God created a lot of angels. But the angels had free will, the choice to do what is good or do what is evil. And some chose to do what is evil. God didn't create them evil. They chose evil, just like you said. Satan chose a huge evil, and he refused to change his mind. And he convinced some other angels to agree with him. So that's how we have demons, fallen angels, thrown away from the presence of God. They rebelled against him, so God cast them down to the earth. And that's why we have evil in the world, is because they chose evil. And now they try to share that evil with us through temptation to turn us from God the way they turned away from God. So don't think that God created the devil. God created angels, and some angels chose through their free will a gift from God, the same gift we have as human beings to choose good or to choose evil, and they used it to choose evil. And that's unfortunate for them, but it's a good lesson for us to know what will happen if we choose evil over the goodness of God. We too will be separated from God's love the way Satan and his demons have been separated. I believe that runs the clock down pretty well. Boy, that half hour goes really, really fast. Thank you for listening today. We hope you have a wonderful week. James, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Have a good rest of your Easter time. Easter is quickly running out, but we're past Easter Day, but we're not out of Easter time yet. So happy Easter time.
Same to you.
All right, thank you.
See you next week.
See you next week. God bless everyone. Take care.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.